This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Amid the other news of the week, a conversation's underway in Lansing about Michigan's investments in higher education. Republican leaders controlling Michigan's House and Senate are proposing substantial changes in where the funding goes. This amid the backdrop of a terrifying academic year for higher education, in which an already stressed-out business model got turned upside down for distance learning and shifts in who's going to college and where they do so. Chad Livengood is a senior editor for Crain's Detroit Business who wrote about this recently. Hey, Chad, welcome back to Stateside.
Hey, thanks for having me, April.
So what is in the House Republicans' higher ed plan? Can you lay it out for us?
So they've got a plan that is trying to attempt to have state funding follow state students, as in residents of Michigan. By doing that, they are greatly reducing state funding for a couple of the state's flagship universities, the University of Michigan and Wayne State University, which have high proportions of out-of-state students. University of Michigan, 47% of the kids come from out-of-state. They also pay three times as much for the right to get an education at U of M. And so the cuts that happen in this budget amount to, for the first year, 12% for U of M Ann Arbor and 4% for Wayne State. And then the money is being used to essentially redistribute the wealth. It's not really an actual meaningful increase in funding for higher ed, but what it does is it then spreads that money out into almost 10% increases in funding for Oakland University, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan, Ferris State, Saginaw Valley, universities that traditionally have a much higher proportion of students who are Michigan residents. What they also did was when they built this formula, they realized they were going to give big 7-8% cuts to the universities in the Upper Peninsula, Northern Michigan, Michigan Tech, and Lake Superior State. So what the lawmakers did was they just exempted the UP schools from their formula because those schools also have high proportions of out-of-state students. And they kind of went after the big boys, so to speak, U of M, Ann Arbor, and Wayne State, under the guise that these universities have big endowments and could have quote-unquote afford to take a cut. But the universities, you talk to them, you know, and anybody knows anything about endowments, just because you have $12, $13 billion in the bank doesn't mean you can actually just dip into it to make up the difference.
Yeah, it's considered generally pretty bad practice in nonprofit management. Do you see this necessarily as a poke at schools in more urban or more affluent communities like Detroit and Ann Arbor, places that traditionally vote blue? Or is there something deeper here about who our higher ed system is really built for?
Yeah, it's definitely got the undertones of sort of a partisan attack. I should also mention this is actually a three-year plan they've put together that at the end of the third year, U of M would have a 38% reduction in state funding, $122 million fewer tax dollars flowing from Lansing to Ann Arbor by 2024. Wayne State wouldn't have as much of a bloodbath, but it would be $28 million or 14% less state funding. What also happens is because some other universities have a high proportion of out-of-state students, but not nearly as much as U of M and Wayne State, such as Michigan State University and Western, they would get about a 1% or 2% increase over 3 years, which effectively, with the rate of inflation, that's effectively still a cut.
It feels like, Chad, at places like U of M, it's sort of an unspoken truth that the tuition of out-of-state students makes a lot of other things possible at the university. Is there any concern among the makers of this bill, so to speak, that they might be doing some damage to the state's higher education system by undermining what is basically a source of revenue?
You don't get a sense of that from talking to the lawmakers who are behind this, one of which is Representative Thomas Albert, the chairman of the House Appropriations Committee, who is actually, in fact, a U of M Ann Arbor graduate and has an MBA from Michigan State. He doesn't seem to be fazed by this idea. They're really kind of honed in on the idea that U of M has this massive multi-billion dollar endowment and can afford to take the haircut. And I've covered higher ed funding since I was in college at Central myself, like for now off and on for past 17, 18 years in Michigan. This issue of higher education funding really is really much a symptom of term limits. There is constant turnover in Lansing, and nobody has really been around long enough to know the history of it. We are still almost $500 million less per year in funding for universities that we were at the beginning of this century. There has been a systematic disinvestment that dates back to Michigan's decade-long single-state recession before the Great Recession, and we never really recovered from that. And now you see the effects of COVID. And suddenly, even this is even the stranger part of all this, is the state is flush with cash this year because the economy is coming back quite nicely, and because they got multiple billions of dollars of stimulus money. And yet the lawmakers are not really proposing to use any of that to help these universities or invest it all, you know, make one-time investments in universities. They're proposing this new, completely different and quite radical way of funding higher education on a per pupil basis that would really change things dramatically. I should also mention Grand Valley State, Oakland University, and Central Michigan, others, they would see at the end of 3 years, 33 to 35% increase in funding. So it is really a dramatic change in the way we would approach higher education funding in Michigan.
Chad, I wanted to ask you about another issue that I know you've got an eye on, and that's unemployment benefits. The state has recently restored the rule that says that if you're receiving unemployment benefits, which a lot of people are right now, you need to actively be searching for work. What's the political tension going on behind this in Lansing?
Yeah, I mean, the tension is there's 800,000 people collecting unemployment every week. There is this new benefit in the American Rescue Plan that extended a $300 a week additional benefit on top of the maximum $362 a week benefit through Labor Day. And there are businesses, mostly in the hospitality industry, that are just desperate for workers. They cannot get applicants. A couple of weeks ago, the Macomb and St. Clair County Michigan Works Office held a virtual job fair. They advertised that they had 500 jobs in hotels and restaurants. They had about four applicants actually show up for this virtual job fair. And so there's a lot of pressure to get at least restore the requirement that if you're on unemployment, you have to apply for at least one job a week and show some documentation of that. And then there's all this, and this is mostly led by the Chamber of Commerce and various business groups. They want to see Michigan follow the lead of a lot of Republican-run states that are simply waiving this $300 a week and getting rid of it because they think it's a benefit that's preventing people from going back to work because they can make $662 a week on unemployment, and you'd have to be working at least a $16 an hour job to match that.
I think there's plenty to say about how workers feel about the safety of returning to the workforce right now, but I got to say, I am seeing these help wanted signs up all over in my neighborhood. What's the craziest thing you've seen employers doing to try to get people to apply?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, if you go on Craigslist, you can just find like restaurant worker jobs, and there are restaurants, small and big, offering $200, $300, $400, $500 for signing bonuses. A source of mine in Petoskey sent me a picture a couple weeks ago of a Subway offering $18 an hour to be a sandwich artist at a Subway. In Petoskey. But you know what? Here's the problem about Petoskey is even if you got that job, good luck finding a place to live in Petoskey or within 20 minutes of Petoskey. That's one of the biggest challenges, particularly in Traverse City and Petoskey and some of these Lake Michigan towns, is they know that the tourists are coming back and they're going to come back hard this summer. And there just may not be enough workers, enough labor supply within those areas to support that. And that's partly a reflection of the cost of housing in some of these areas.
Chad Livengood, senior editor at Crain's Detroit Business. You can find his writing online. Chad, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.